Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 139, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Buck Sexton, and fuck J.K. Rowling.
Bye.
It's Tuesday. Bye. June 23rd, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Miles Gray, Jack O'B, on the Daily Zeitgeist. We say, fuck Trump, he's obscene. That is courtesy of Wash Your Damn Hands. Good advice. And I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
So let's defund the cop, even if it takes all night. Let's defund the cops, or abolish them outright.
Okay, thank you so much to the one and only at Pink Politic, Liverpool fan. You know, shout out to all Liverpool fans. The Premier League started. My life is a disaster since the Premier League started, but that's okay. Shout out to people doing okay. Thank you for that, AKA. I'm ready for the world.
I did see Arsenal trending, and like I now get a pit in my stomach when I see Arsenal trending because I'm like, damn, man. Like, it's just never good news for you.
We are a Simpsons bit. You know, like when Homer was in the ambulance and then the hit a tree and he fell at the back of the ambulance and then fell down. There was a meme made of just since Wednesday, what's happened. Our goalkeeper, who is by far one of our best players, horrifically injured his knee in a game that I saw live at 7 in the morning. I was like, your leg shouldn't bend like that. And then immediately I'm like, why did this even start? I didn't need this pain. But hey, people need distractions, and I don't need this one.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat all the way from the capital of the world, I would say, at this point. The high heaven. Point of civilization.
To heaven.
He is Mr. the talented, the hilarious Guy Montgomery.
It's Guy. Do. Back on the Daily Zeitgeist. Oh, whoa, whoa.
Ooh. A little hold the line
Guy.
Right there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Back on the Daily Zeitgeist. I got submitted that because last time I did this, I think I just made one up. And it wasn't so up to standard, Guy. Obviously. I should have gone for the falsetto. I've been wary of my singing volume, of course, because it is 6:42 a.m. Such is my thirst, my unquenchable appetite to discuss American current events. But I would like to say a huge thank you to Podge Moran for submitting that. I think I complained last time, and then they sent one in. They said, try this. And I had it saved.
Podge.
And I really think I hit a home run there.
Yeah.
I think you
wow.
I couldn't agree
nailing
more.
Nailing that Yankee talk, my man.
Yeah.
Home run. Oh, yeah. That's not even
We were hit for six on that one.
Hey, that's cricket terminology. I actually, yesterday, I had to go to a toy store 2 days ago. I was on my way to a fourth birthday party, and we went with my partners.
Stop throwing it in our face that you can go to a party where people congregate, and then you went to a store like it's February 2020. Okay, go on.
I'm sorry. That is actually, I am genuinely sorry about that. It didn't occur to me that this anecdote would be so illicit. It's very boring. Anyway, the long and short of it is, I went back to the toy store the next day by myself, the best way to shop at a toy store, and I found a card game, which is a test cricket card game, which is like baseball, and you can play it as one player. Isn't that great?
Against your like solitaire, but for nice.
Yeah, but a sports card game. I know. I'm the coolest dude in town.
Where in what city in New Zealand are you in? Auckland?
Auckland, New Zealand.
All right. Best known, of course, California.
Yeah, best known for that hilarious Full House episode where they were going to Oakland, but some of the kids accidentally got on a flight to Auckland.
That happened?
I don't think they actually flew the kids to Auckland, not unless Full House went way more method than we thought.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't remember that one. And I feel like there are only like 5 seasons of Full House.
There's only 3 bits that every episode engaged in, so I don't remember that one.
That seems like somewhat avant-garde for the Full House sense of humor. It's really pushing boundaries.
Yeah, they're counting on us to be like, oh, no, they're going to go to Auckland, New Zealand, and then they're going to be in trouble. People are like, how do you spell, why are you spelling Oakland like that?
To acknowledge that there's a country that's outside of the United States seems...
Do you know how ludicrous the impact of American media is? That even now, when I watch television programs from any era or any moment or movies, as soon as the characters say to each other, you know, they're always like, well, what are we going to do, run away to New Zealand? I still go, I still will high five whoever I'm sitting with and I'll be like, yeah, they know we're out here.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Put you guys on the map. Well, speaking of
we owe you big time.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Guy. You're welcome. I do want to say it's rare that I get to see like the seasons change in any way, but I do notice that it's getting darker over the course of having you on the show over quarantine. It's now, it used to be like sort of hazy, dusky morning glow in the background, and now it is pitch dark.
But so, you know, Jack, by the time we end, though, it always looks different. Remember what Guy looks like now, because like the sun's about to set, and I'm always like, then I feel like I'm getting out of a bar from like morning drinking, and I'm like, exactly, what? It's light out.
Wow, man,
he's surfing around and stuff. Yeah, by the end of the show.
Can I just say, fellas, lovely to see you.
Yeah, man.
And all my best wishes.
I honestly, I was so excited when I saw that you were going to be on the show, like when I looked about a week ago, because I was just reading all about New Zealand and how, you know, there was a full-on rugby match, because you guys did the right thing, listen to experts. Granted, it's a much smaller country, but it was very heartening to see an example of like, yeah, listen to the experts, and then we could very quickly go, if you just, we'll tell you how to get there.
Yeah.
But let's just do that. And I was like, man, that's got to feel so good in New Zealand right now to just like come out and just hug people and scream in each other's faces like there's no pandemic going on.
Well, yeah, that was one of the big things we did is we followed the rules and now we sort of roam free.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the secret?
Crazy. So the secret
how
is
did you handle- we
our government employs people called scientists, and these guys now these scientists it's their job to do all the work.
Like from Star Trek, scientists. Yeah. Oh, you guys got those in New Zealand, huh?
Yeah. We like sat in our house episode. While the scientists all said, here's what we're going to do. And then the scientists said, it's good to go. Scientists, you guys have got to look into this.
That's the secret, yeah.
Yeah. Game changers.
Get into this science thing, guys. Get into that.
All right, Guy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We, of course, have to talk about the Tulsa rally, the big Trump MAGA rally that wasn't a big Trump MAGA rally, really. It was like a small little gathering. We're going to talk about who was responsible for there being not such a massive rally this time around. I think they were expecting, they said the lowest estimate heading into the MAGA rally was 60,000 people. They claimed that there were 1 million requests to reserve tickets, and they had 6,000 people, which is, you'll notice, far lower than that. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about just the general state of there are unsolved lynchings happening in America. The police are very petulant, going around harassing just communities of people. We're going to talk about fireworks also for some reason, because I don't know. I think it all ties in together about how we're feeling. We'll talk about Columbus. We might change the name of Columbus, Ohio. And we'll talk about, we might get to a Trump movie that is premiering at Cannes. Co-starring Stormy Daniels and Scientology using COVID-19 to recruit people. All of that, plenty more. But first, Guy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I've looked at why is T-Rex the most famous dinosaur?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, does that ever, you ever think about that?
I didn't put it together until I had read Oedipus Rex. And then I was like, oh, that's what Rex means. And then, I don't know, do people just get lazy because, like, they just, like bow to the, like, monarchical structures or something?
I guess, from what I could, from my limited research, because I was looking up dinosaur names to try and, to learn how to spell them or to challenge other people to spell them. And it's widely regarded as the most famous dinosaur. This is partly because it was the very first large carnivorous dinosaur to be discovered, and it was long believed to have been the largest that ever lived. Another factor was that it was probably the fiercest meat eater that ever lived. And another reason is because possibly it was discovered in North America, and its North American heritage may explain its position as the world's most famous dinosaur. Because you guys love crowing on about how you find dinosaurs and how great everything is.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, you know, the American Empire is much more than the borders of the country. Like, we were making nearly all the entertainment at one point. So, like, we got everybody on this diet of, like, yeah, man, like, fucking America, huh? There's something up over there. We just have amazing PR.
You do. You got a great PR machine. Although I will say the wheels do appear to be coming off slightly presently.
They're loose. They're loose, guys.
What's the view from down there, mate?
Honestly, when I watch the news in America, it looks like
the
country is at a point when what would traditionally happen when a country whips itself up into this kind of state is that America would say, do you know what you guys need? Our military.
Democracy. Yeah.
Yeah.
is the coverage ever like from the news, like in New Zealand, sort of saying things like, you know, because of America's rampant, unchecked racism, this is like a thing. Like, what's the sort of presentation of the unrest from, you know, the perspective of New Zealand?
It's hard to say because news. You guys get some, you know, you get a bit of coverage, but the news outlets from which I'm getting my information are global, or often they remain American because they seem to be keyed in most to what's happening. The coverage is sort of like, my read on the coverage is sort of like, oh boy, I can't believe I left America in December 2019. Talk about a stroke of luck. That's sort of my spin on the coverage.
Right.
Because I came back independent of anything that was happening, and my friends would say, wow, is it tough? Do you regret it? And I say, regret leaving New York City in December 2019? I say, no, that's what I say.
The other thing that was cool to see was, you know, in all over the country or all over the world, there were countries having their own marches for, like, in solidarity of Black Lives and things like that. And I was very, very touching to see in New Zealand those happening. What is, like, what's sort of the thing that motivates, you know, I think every country has an aspect of dealing with some kind of racism or whatever that essentially people were connecting to it at any point. It wasn't just about narrowly this, but I think a lot of people felt connected of this feeling of, you know, oppression, colonization, things like that, slavery. Is there something like, you know, put me on to sort of like what the temperature is in New Zealand that, you know, obviously because you guys have your heads on straight as people, like what else was kind of motivating people to go out there and show solidarity?
The marches initially were in sort of just total solidarity. There was a big, from the organizers specifically, there was a concerted effort to not shift focus or kind of, use it as a pivot point into local, you know, local oppression. But there's a growing Black community in New Zealand, and then also traditionally there, like, I mean, we suffer from many of the same problems on a much smaller scale in terms of systemic oppression and a police force that, you know, disproportionately incarcerates Pacifica and Indigenous, like Māori people in New Zealand. And so I think Middle New Zealand and sort of, you know, the we don't really have these poles in the way that America does politically, but middle to right skewing New Zealand, I think we have this very, we're quite proud of this lackadaisical, like, she'll be right, aren't we lucky we're here and not there sort of approach. And then beneath that, there's an undercurrent of people saying, well, it's very well for you to say that from inside of the status quo, but this is not working for everyone. And so I think It's very clear, even from here, that this is a moment in history, and it's sort of like, you know, if you ever wondered what you'd be doing when the worm turned, it's pretty much what you're doing right now. And so I think also because the, I think also because of our relationship to COVID-19 and how we sort of have given it a bit of a spanking, people quite excitedly and confidently were like, well, what better way to fucking get out in the streets than, you know, than a fantastic cause. Like on Sunday 2 weeks ago, that I went to the march, Black Lives March, and then, which would have been about 6,000 people, and then to a sports game with 45,000 people. And I thought, gee whiz, aren't we living?
Yeah. Man, that's wild to even think that New Zealand March for Black Lives drew nearly as many people as, you know, KKK Palooza in Tulsa.
That was our big goal. We all sort of had an email going around. We said, let's get more people than Trump in Tulsa.
Were you in on it with the K-pop fans and the
of course,
and the teenagers on TikTok? You guys,
that was a separate but equally important email thread. I sort of spearheaded both of the threads.
Nice.
I used that traditional chainmail approach where I say, forward this to 10 people or your crush won't like you back. And you'll be surprised how that mobilizes people.
How effective that still is.
We need that NZDF to come through on the internet, man.
Absolutely.
What is a guy, what's something you think is underrated?
Well, of course, I think it's the, I don't even know how to say this dinosaur, but it's the Compsognathus. Everyone's going on about the T-Rex, but this is a little dinosaur. It's the size of a turkey, but it's got that beautiful, those beautiful raptor proportions.
Compies.
Yeah, that we know and love.
Oh, yeah.
They had their shine in that, second Jurassic Park movie?
I think they did, yeah.
But they were in the first book, and in fact, or in the book, and they killed the main big bad.
Yeah.
John, what's his name?
Yeah.
Not Hancock. But the guy who built the park, he got
John Hammond.
John Hammond. He got eaten by the compies in the first book, and then in the second book, he's back.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. He's back in the. I mean, the movie just didn't
glossed over that. Yeah,
kill him, they didn't want him. And then he's back in Lost World for some reason.
Why not? I just think these are great, sexy little dinosaurs. You know, everyone's going on about the big old T-Rex. What about we give the compies some airtime, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
What was your first interaction with a compie guy that led you down this road?
Probably Jurassic Park. But again, I've just had my head in the dinosaur world lately. And I came across these guys and I saw a picture of them without scale. And I thought, how big is that? And then I saw a picture of it with scale and it was next to a mouse. And I was like, that's pretty small. I like it when this is why we like puppies and kittens. Like, I like it when the scale's small. That's cool. That's fun.
The tiny T-Rex.
That's cool.
Have you seen the puppy?
Right.
Those things are amazing.
It's like a tiny dog. But it'll grow.
I'm just looking at the Latin broken down compsos, meaning elegant or dainty.
Ooh,
compsoth nathus, dainty jaw, elegant jaw. Okay.
Mm, I like that.
Great jawline on the compy.
I don't know if you've seen that compy. Wow, chiseled jawline on that. Sign it up. Wilhelmina Models, sign this compy.
After all this is over, I can't wait to walk into a plastic surgery and say, give me a jawline like a compy.
Like a compy.
I want you to scale this operation down.
You're like the new, that one woman who's the cat woman, that European woman has, and then, guy just becomes comp USA.
Guy, what's something you think is overrated? I think I might know where we're going here.
Well, what do you think? What do you think I think is overrated?
I don't know. We're here. Hey, we're just here to be in awe of you guys. So you just tell us, man.
No, I think President Cheeto is actually a little bit overrated. That's what I call him. I think think he's. Yep, I've said it on the podcast before. I'll say it again.
Yeah,
this guy. You gotta get him out of there. But I did put the boot in because he looks like a. This guy looks like a freaking Cheeto.
So true, man. So true.
That's all we got. That's where we're at.
I was going to say before when you were saying we're going to get into a little bit of why the Trump was so poorly attended. It's got to be because of all those late night talk show hosts who simply won't stop lacerating this guy with their witty asides.
Non-stop assault.
Just wore him down, right?
Yeah.
I mean... Colbert, can he say that? And finally...
As a quick question, I'm just curious. You were saying how like polling is different in New Zealand or whatever. It's not like America's addicted to the polls because it's like this horse race thing. Like with Jacinda, like your prime minister, is polling something that comes out regularly about the prime minister's performance? And I'm curious if like by comparison, everyone's like, we have the smartest leader on earth in our country.
I think it doesn't come out with the same frequency or intensity. Like we don't treat it with quite the same level of spectacle. But her approval ratings are absolutely soaring right now. And the opposition, who are called the National Party, they hit such a deep slump. This is an election year. We've got an election. I'd say it's about 90 days away now. They hit such a big slump that the leader of the opposition got rolled. This guy, it was a guy called Simon Bridges, who is this pugnacious guy whose whole tack was he'd come on and he'd say, like in the middle of the most phenomenal global response to COVID-19, he kept going on the news and saying, we're caking it, we're fucking it. And everyone was like, no, just like, I know it might not feel good, but you just say, well done. And then, hopefully there's a mistake down the line. And anyway, everyone got pissed off. And so then this guy who's called Todd Muller, who just is the least inspiring thumb of a man, he somehow got in. And I mean, it's, we create our own little narratives and we have our fun with our political system, but it's, I don't want to be complacent, but we seem to be quite well positioned at the next election for the ones that I like to win again.
Right. I think, yeah, everyone in the U.S. just has, like, we just, like, are, like, shipping ourselves in a relationship with New Zealand in a way. We're like,
yeah.
God, man, what the fuck? Like, oh, like, I have dreams about being, like, President Jacinda, and I'm like, yes, 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 yeah. yes, go on, go on.
It was quite a funny movement coming out of the UK where it was like they were trying to declare war and immediately surrender. It was a pledge me or something. They were like, declare war and immediately surrender to New Zealand, which would mean that they cede governmental control to our government.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would be totally.
But I don't know that they went ahead with it.
Finally, what is a myth? Yeah, what's something people think is true you know to be false or vice versa?
Well, from what I understand, people often think that the city of Athens was named such due to, you know, various different historical figures deciding that this is what we're going to call it and scribes writing it down. What a lot of them might be shocked to hear is the naming of Athens, in the great words of T.S. Eliot and Andrew Lloyd Webber, is a curious matter. This isn't just one of your holiday games. No, pretty much, there was just a competition between Athena and Poseidon, and they were like, "All right, you're going to name it after one of us." And the people were like, "Okay." they were pretty obliging. And what happened was that Poseidon showed up, and this guy's the king of the sea. He loves the sea, and he struck a rock with his trident, and all this water gushed forth. And the big advertisement was meant to be, if you guys worried about a drought, well, you don't got to.
I can make all worry this about salt that anymore.
Yeah, look at this. Yeah, well, and that's actually what sort of came back to nip him on the ass. Is everyone was like, dude, all this water's super salty, and he didn't really say anything. And then Athena. She struck her spear on the ground and a bloody beautiful little olive tree cropped up. And the citizens were like, man, olive trees, we got food, we got oil, we got wood. and then they're like, we're going to call our city Athens. And then historians said, yeah, we are.
Deal.
So I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah, no, thank you.
A lot of people are, yeah, that's one that I think we... busted way back in my time, it cracked, but that's a common misconception.
Wow.
All right.
We do what little we can, Jack.
I just feel so foolish for even like clinging to the words of Thucydides or Herodotus at this point.
Yeah.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the Tulsa rally.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back, and the news media for most of last week was really looking forward to this Tulsa rally that Trump was going to stage. That was very controversial because so many people were going to show up, and his followers tend to think science is a myth, not be on board with those scientists that Guy's country love so much.
Yeah.
Just let's tell them what to do. So yeah, that was kind of the way the story was being covered heading into basically the moment the rally started, and the media looked around and they were like, there's only like 6,000 people here. 6,200 showed up, to be exact. And the worst case scenario coming in, according to, you know, estimates heading in, was 60,000. They had been bragging that 1 million people were inquiring or registering to show up. And people immediately, you know, Fox News, I think, is immediately jumped on the fact that some teenagers on TikTok and some K-pop stans were saying that they had registered and then not attended the event, which was, you know, real switcheroo and unfair, not fair. And they're claiming that, but when you take into account that there were unlimited tickets, it wasn't like they were buying seats and then not attending those seats. It was an unlimited amount of people could register and show up, and they had it planned that the overflow crowd would be outside and Trump and Pence would address them afterwards. But they didn't even have enough to fill the inside. The outside was completely empty and they had to cancel that second appearance. So it was just all around not a good look for Trump 2020.
Oh, and Brad Parscale, you know, I don't know how long he'll be campaign manager, because all the reports were like when Trump realized how scant the crowd was, like he lost it. And you knew he was pissed because there's that video clip of him coming back to the White House in Marine One on the helicopter and his tie's undone. And he's like hanging his head, walking back like no one came to his racist prom party at all.
Yeah.
Even though so many people RSVP'd, Mom, and no one showed up. Even the way Parscale explains it is so bizarre. It's because it's almost like he's almost saying, like, don't give credit to the K-pop people for fucking this up. Like, we just, no one just people just don't fuck with the president is how it sounds. Because he says, this is a quote from Brad Parscale, leftists and online trolls doing a victory lap, thinking they somehow impacted rally attendance. Don't know what they're talking about or how our rallies work. Reporters who wrote gleefully about TikTok and K-pop fans without contacting the campaign for comment behaved unprofessionally and were willing dupes to the charade. And he goes on to basically saying, like, even though people RSVP'd, they know how to get the bogus numbers out. And they knew, like, we had the right calculations. So if that's the case, then you have to own now that your own people don't support you. If it's not like, yeah, it wasn't because of that.
It's right.
But then he wants, yeah.
An insane point of pride to be like, no, the calculations are good. Like, what is left to grab onto at this point?
Not nothing. And it's got to suck because there were people on like One America News who were like hyperventilating to the camera because they knew Trump would watch. He's like, you know, they said that there was probably only 6,000 people in there. And I like myself, other people, we were eyewitnesses in the building. I mean, there was the full half of the stadium was there. So if it's 19,000 it holds, and if there was a full half, then it can't just be 6,000. It was like, whoa, why are you, why are you breathing so hard like this?
Right.
Because you know, like you have to go out there and just pretend like that the brand that, you know, the brand of white supremacy isn't doing too good right now. I think that's another thing people should look at, because a lot of people, I think on progressives were like, okay, so if progressives got out in the street and people willing to stand in solidarity for equality took the streets like this over the last couple weeks, we're like, well, I guess we'll see what kind of racist, you know, Kraken emerges from Tulsa. And you got 6,000 people. And a lot of people, even themselves, kind of saying like, I don't know, Corona, like even on Fox News, they're like, who thought it was a good idea to have 20,000 people with masks optional in enclosed space? It was weird how Fox turned on them today.
I think it looks like the answer to that question is roughly 6,000 people
within driving distance.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how this affects, like, it obviously hurts his feelings, but he's a, you know, a narcissist who takes all of his self-worth from outside indicators. So, and eventually he'll just be able to, you know, suck the oxygen out of the room enough to puff himself back up. But there is a thing that you notice throughout the 2016 and then throughout his presidency, the 2016 campaign and his presidency, where this was sort of a cool meme among kind of racist people, where like showing up to Trump rallies, like there was, you know, you heard it described as like being like a rock concert, like everybody shows up, they're wearing t-shirts, they're lined up hours in advance, they're meeting other fans. And so like seeing that sort of pierced a little bit at the same time that, yes, white supremacy is having just a rough day in the media these past couple weeks. I do wonder if that's going to compound on itself or if there'll be some sort of like, you know, backlash to the
It does seem to be for Trump that, or as we call him here at the Zeitgeist, President Cheeto. It does seem to be a bit of that difficult second album about the whole lead in
sophomore
campaign.
Jinx.
Yeah, it's tough. Also, though, the fear always, right, is that he's so good at whipping his fans into a frenzy that, you know, the spin on this is like, now more than ever, we need you guys to mobilize and energize and make some noise. I mean, it's like, you know, this is exact. It's the fear that I imagine is that this can lead to some version of complacency amongst Democratic voters. Like, you know, the entire campaign that's been wheeled out as the alternative is not, this is what you want. It's, you don't want the other thing.
Right.
And, you know, this sort of public humiliation, especially this far out from the election, is the sort of thing that can take seed and lead to, I'm just projecting, but some sort of complacency or overconfidence or just not good things to be carrying towards the election. It is funny. It is also very funny though, because I don't know if you guys have this, but I'm against the guy.
Yeah, I mean he's gonna have to come out with new hits, like you're saying. You know, the first album, MAGA Volume 1. We had things like Lock Her Up, Build That Wall, USA.
Yeah.
And people can only sing the same hits over and over at these shows before like, yo, where's the new shit? The only thing I heard that was kind of cool was Ronna Romney, the head of the RNC. She called Biden's campaign Biden Seek. And I was like, hey, that was clever. But, you know, again, if you really think that these elections are won just on these witticisms, then we have, I mean, we already have a problem, but we have additional problems in this country. And on top of that, Trump's, you know, Biden outraised Trump by 6 million, I think, this last month. So there's, in the end, you know, what's clear is that just in your face racism from 2017 is a huge risk in 2020 now, whether that's, you know, going out there and just being like, oh man, now knowing like how this is framed, like now I've ran up. If you were, I don't know, somehow a reasonable Trump supporter, you'd be like, I think I've run out of ways to say I'm not racist by being here.
I mean, his numbers are going down. So like that's the thing is there are these supporters that we see who are loud and like storming their state capitol without masks and automatic weapons. And like, that's who we picture as all Trump supporters. But, you know, he is bleeding, you know, support in a small way. So there must be. And also the low point, like, you know, people talk about him kind of saying racist things that get him pushback or misogynist things that get pushback in the media. And then his polling numbers go up, but the low point of his approval rating in his presidency was after Charlottesville. So like after he said the both sides thing. So it does seem like there's a limit to that like being openly, you know, courting white supremacists, like open white supremacists, does seem to be at least a possibly unpopular or less popular than his sort of polite racism.
I think the other thing too is there's nothing that will have a white racist person reconsider their racism than another white person telling them that their racism is bullshit, because it's easy to ignore, you know, a non-white person telling you, you're racist. But I think a lot of people, like we've been saying, the first step of beginning this work towards any kind of just world is to let your values be known to other people. Because now if you were racist and you thought everybody was quiet because you felt the same way, and now you see the streets filled up with people that look like you who are just with signs saying, like, you're going to begin guessing, or at least some people might take a second to think about it. But I think that's what's very powerful too, is I feel like there are a decent amount of people I've seen too who are kind of also trying to take a harder line within the spaces they are in as well, to not, you know, abide by any kind of racism or white supremacy.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to hope. It's just, it can be challenging to know because of the spaces we occupy online or even amongst our close circle of friends. I'm imagining it is limited to that, the fear that we exist purely in an echo. You know, like, I remember the last election on Twitter, or even when Brexit happened before, because that was like the Brexit happened before Trump got elected, right?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that and being like, well, I didn't see that coming, according to the, you know, 2,000 people I follow on Twitter or whatever.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
You know, who thought that they weren't representative of the world? And so, but certainly within the communities that I've noticed, there is a real assertion of correction and sort of, you know, that the impact of what's happening globally is taking hold locally, which is, you know, that's why we've got the march here. It's why people are talking to their families here. Even though the conversation is different here, it's like, you know, the impact of that is reaching further afield, which is cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I think could, you know, this is another thing that factored into it. I think COVID does have a big thing, probably played a big part of it, because I'm sure there are people who are racist, but also fear COVID-19. And we're kind of like, yeah, as much as I want to act like, yeah, fuck it, I'll get COVID, I think only 6,000 people were really, truly willing to go that far. Because on some level, because I don't think, I'm not just going to say, you know, racism has become so unfashionable, look at the rallies. I think there's definitely a group of people too who are, you know, they are not willing to put their own safety at risk ever. So they'd rather be, you know, racist from the safety of their own home.
Or racist scientists, we call them.
Right. But then, so even like when you look at Florida, right, the Republican National Convention, you know, there's talks about having it in Jacksonville. Because Ron DeSantis, the governor there, is like, COVID, what? I don't know what that is. Yeah, do whatever you want. Come on down. But even when you look at, there are some polls that came out from people in Jacksonville, and by like a 10-point margin, even the voters in Jacksonville did not want a convention there because 61% of the people they polled were concerned about a virus outbreak, even though like they're clearly based on the polling before about how favorable Donald Trump was. Like it was, you know, 41 in favor, 48 against. So it was, you know, pretty split. But even on these things, when it came down to like the virus, it was you were seeing these majorities kind of, you know, bear out into the in the poll numbers.
But there's got to be a part of if somebody is saying, OK, I still support Trump because racism, misogyny, like those are he's my guy. But then you also are seeing that he's telling you it's OK to come out to this rally, but you are afraid enough of the virus to know that's not true. Like, doesn't that have to undercut some of their support, like their belief that this person is like a good leader? Like, I just feel like there's got to be something.
It's not about leadership, but it's not about, that's the thing, it's not about leadership. Like, yeah, these people are completely untethered from the concept of what a leader is. They just like the TV show where a white man is as cruel as possible to people that don't look like him or believe what he believes. That's what they're in for, like this show. Because any person who has half a brain about how legislation works would probably be really concerned with half the stuff that's going on. I mean, I feel like the government now is just playing this game with the people of saying like, I wonder how long till they realize we don't even give a fuck about the Constitution, but we'll let them sweat it out and pretend like it's a thing that, because behind the scenes, we're out here violating that, you know, what we call just, you know, might as well be a rolling paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the mental gymnastics is required to support this party in any respect. It's so great. I think people aren't worried or even considering the contradictions that is required for them to pledge their support or go out. Like, you know, these are the mental gymnastics means that we've got some mentally agile, although albeit in the wrong ways, people. Like,
yeah. Well, I think because in and of itself, right, the idea of to be racist, to hold those values in it, it's so absurd to begin with that the results are going to only be absurd as people have to begin like be pulled out of it, because it's already absurd. The reasoning to stay in it will be just as equally as absurd.
Mm.
There's not anyone going to be who's like, I'm racist because it's good for the environment and I can point to it. Like no one has reasoning like that. It's just that I just think that's just the way it is. And you know, like white people built the world. And also I'm not going to acknowledge that they wrote a racist history that was force fed into my brain as a child. So I only know the world through this perspective of white men. But that's what I believe, and that's that. And other these people are unequal to me because of, I don't know, because that's what I've been told.
There's also an equal faction of those people who say, no, I like, you know, that I'm not, they say, I'm not racist. This is just what I think, which is, it seems to be a dividing point now amongst, you know, acknowledgement that implicit racism exists in all of us because of the structures in which, you know, the world operates and the way that we're brought up and the fact that we're all deprogramming and like, dismantling this inherently racist system. And so the true racists are the ones who now say, no, I'm not racist. It's just that this is how it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the ability to acknowledge racism within yourself is a step towards trying to heal it, I guess. And then you do have these freaky factions of people who are proudly racist.
Yeah. But then I think even those people who want to be intellectual about it, it's if they're those people are probably already trying to like operate in spaces where there are more reasonable people. And then when someone would say that to me, I'm like, OK, well, I don't care what you think. That's racist. Now get the fuck out of my face. Bye.
Right.
Well, I'm like, no, it's not a debate. And I think that's what's interesting now is like we're trying to be a little more, you know, objective, even with the language we use when we talk about like whether it's talking about comedians and like young women versus a child. You know what I mean? Child. If someone is not an adult, they are a child, but we use these modifiers. Like we need to be a little more objective. Let's call it what it is. And before it was very easy for people to be like, well, you know, that is just sort of what I'm looking at based on the data that this is why these people behave like this in the country. Like now, rather than saying like racially charged remarks, people need to be moving towards things of just being like, no, racist. And it doesn't matter what their defense is, because we have to sort of stand together as the, you know, reasonable community of people and say, no, that's racism. And no matter, you can tell your own audience so they can convince themselves, but we will not be tricked by that. And I think that's what we also have to do, is not allow, you know, that kind of disingenuous discourse to happen in our presence either.
Did you see the video of Chris D'Elia on a podcast finding out that you can save Snapchat?
Oh my God. It's the whole thing is so dark. Ugh.
It is so crazy now because of podcasting and the fact that people are videoing their podcasts. Just like the mountain of evidence, the paper trail that these fucking you know, these pedophiles in essence, or not even in essence, are leaving behind. You know, it's like who would have thought
with
after
video
you'd get to literally watch him reckon with his actions, and then how long ago was that? Have no material impact on how he behaves.
Right.
Fucking sociopath.
For people who don't know, it's like a podcast where they're talking about somebody getting caught because, I think it was a teacher, a woman teacher who had a relationship with a child, and she was sending Snapchat messages to the child, and the child's mom found them. And you see Crystal, he's like, yeah, man, that's messed up. And you can tell, like, he's not really, like, thinking about what they're talking about because something else is going on, like the wheels are turning. Yeah. And then he's like, wait, hold on. So Snapchat, though, like, how do they even find that? Because Snapchat, like, it disappears, right?
Oh, because like, kids can they'll use screen record, and then that's how they'll capture it.
Oh.
It's
and fucking, then just ugh. Like you just see his career flash before his eyes. It's wild. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
And we're back, and let's talk about Columbus, Ohio. hometown of the great Cody Johnston, of Ohio State University, 3 hours from a place I grew up, and named after Christopher Columbus.
The director.
Not the director of Goonies, which is what I thought growing up. I was like, yeah, of course they.
Oh, named after that guy, the lead singer of Genocidal Tendencies?
No.
The great explorer, Christopher Columbus?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Explorer.
That was flippant. Right. Yeah, there. I mean, it's interesting, you know, again, the anti-colonizer slaver wave continues. The Teddy Roosevelt's white man on top statue is going to be taken down outside of the Natural History Museum, which is, you know, again, depending on what side of whether or not you like racism, you'll have an opinion on that. But the statue itself, I remember seeing, I was like, wait, it's a indigenous person and a black person on either side of the horse. And he's okay, well, that's an interesting message. So that statue has a planned retirement. And then even like the ice cream, the Eskimo pie, will no longer be branded as such. I think Dreyer's is the parent company. They're doing away with that. And if you want like a SportsCenter style recap of white supremacy in full panic, just watch Fox News. Because like they almost kick off like every hour with like an Eskimo pie. Now it's like they have like this like weird, they always tune in with what fucking company woke up today, I guess, sort of guffawing. And now, you know, Columbus, it's their turn for the woke armies of Satan to put their attention upon this name. But I think it's hard to say like you're going to just completely rename a city because it's the fucking capital. It's like the largest city in the state. There's a lot of stationery, man. There's a lot of signs are going to have to come down. But there is a petition right now to have the city renamed after a true son of Columbus, Guy Fieri, but change the name to Flavor Town.
I mean, obviously that's a good call. I think for now it's funny if it gets over the line right now, because you know, I mean, that's good marketing, isn't it? Everyone's going to want to go to Flavortown, and then what say it holds if it's a placeholder, but somehow, you know, sometimes people name these interim things and then they don't get around to getting changed. 50, 60, 70, 80 years from now, you know, a whole new generation will get to learn that this place is called Flavortown because of the great Guy Fieri.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
I don't know. I mean, again, this is a thing that we were talking about even last week when there were talks of like, what do you do with Nathaniel Bedford Forrest's, you know, statue in the Tennessee Capitol? Like, do you put up people like Dolly Parton? Because that's a Tennessean people can be proud of. But honestly, I think if you're going to be corrective, you need to put up representations of the antithesis of what that former offensive form stood for. So if you have someone that is a colonizer, then you need to actually set that balance off by now enshrining somebody who is about liberation and things like that. I think just as a one-to-one, because it could be easy to just be like, yeah, that would be fun. Let's just replace it with something meaningless. But I think just for the ability for a dominant culture to enshrine some of their worst people, and we're trying to actually have some kind of sea change, then do the right thing and actually let's celebrate people that are we're doing the things that are getting us towards the future we're trying to envision.
I would suggest naming it after a Native American word, but that there's no American towns named after a Native American word, so that would be extreme, I'm sure.
Just all of them?
All of them. Yeah, like so many of them.
Yeah.
I would agree. Was there What's the plan for the statues? Are they going to get melted down? Like the things I often wonder about is there a place for, you know, education through the horrors of the people who have been deified and put up in these statues? Is it worth creating essentially a museum of horrors where you essentially advertise them with plaques which actually detail what they did instead of sort of, you know, like is there a revisionist history version of it where we say these are the statues, this is what they actually, like, here's what they were represented as, here's what they actually did, instead of just trying to sort of, instead of this erasure approach of saying, no, everything's been hunky-dory here since dot one. I mean, how do you actually, you know, what's the proper course correction in terms of re-educating ourselves and future generations on this stuff?
I think that's sort of the, you know, long-term discussion about, you know, clearly right now, what the last few weeks have established that there's an appetite for some level of equilibrium on some, whether that's, you know, I think for people like us, we're talking about full on, you know, revamping, dismantling of these systems of oppression. That's the only way, I think, this is the only way we can truly move towards any semblance of equality. But again, this is a slow moving machine. And I think those steps are going to have, they're going to take time, but we have to keep the pressure on. And essentially, yes, there is going to have to be some kind of like truth and reconciliation committee, something where America as a whole, like through our educations, like that we are officially taking the time to like be like, we really need to sit down with what happened before you were born, you know, and remember what the momentum was your life carried into this moment, because it's off the back of a lot of blood. And we just did a really good job of doing the thing of like, well, let's not actually, yes, I think my parent sucks, but I don't want to think about it because it's my parent, right. You know, and they gave me life or whatever. But sometimes you have to be like, yo, this parent is a straight up piece of shit. But it's okay, cause I'm not a piece of shit. And all I can do is at the very least acknowledge what a piece of shit looks like, so we no longer have more pieces of shit out here running things.
Yeah. I do really like the idea. I mean, all of the really rich, fascinating cultures and intricate histories that were just completely wiped out by these assholes. Like there's, you could fill every square foot of America with testaments to that stuff. And that is way more interesting than the version of history that they give kids currently.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, like, it's almost like you could do a series, and maybe we should not include this, but I honestly think if you did a podcast that was about your city and it was a true crime podcast of how fucked your city has been that you don't know about, people would just have their minds blown. And people didn't know that, like, in Pasadena, like, black people couldn't, like, own property there till like the 60s. You know what I mean? And then people look at Pasadena now of like, oh, it's so many like liberal, you know, white people. But again, we have to remember like what liberal means versus like progressive or leftist or someone who is actually fighting for equality, because liberal just means like you're willing to stomach a certain level of white supremacy until a point.
Well, guys, let's talk about Scientology. Let's just switch tracks. Not really at all. So Scientology has been using the pandemic to recruit people. They've been giving out, like, in a really, like, kind of subtle way that suggests to me that they are bad at recruiting people, because they're, like, in some cases, they're handing out just pamphlets that are actual informational pamphlets about COVID-19 that look almost exactly like the government-issued booklet. This is actually in New Zealand, guy.
Wow.
On the back, there was a QR code that leads to the Church of Scientology website. Which sounds like a very convoluted way of getting people to go to show up at your website and feel tricked at being there. But they were kind of flooding different restaurants and retailers in New Zealand, all those places that you are allowed to go that are but a distant memory for us.
Well, also, they were flooding the timing of the release of these pamphlets is a touch off. When curiosity about how to protect ourselves against COVID-19, it would be fair to say it's probably tapering off. Right. You know, to read the whole booklet and then scan the QR code thinking, I need more.
Can you imagine?
I don't think I've
see a single visit from that.
I've never scanned a fucking QR code unless it was for something like I had to do in that moment to connect some piece of hardware to another thing. I've never been like, damn, that was a good fucking soda. Hold on, let me scan this QR code on the back real quick, because I must know more.
I thought they were a total write-off, but QR codes have become very huge, like, especially because we had these phases of lockdown, and when we eased into level 2, which meant that we were allowed to return to cafes and restaurants, the contact tracing in New Zealand meant that everywhere you went, every business had to have a QR code that you'd scan and you'd log your name
and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's not even for the menu. It's literally, so there's a working database. But I was blown away. I thought that these things were done, but QR codes really to the fore. So good on Scientology for piggybacking on the movement, I guess. Yeah.
I like how
next time, in many respects, as well.
I jumped to the assumption, I'm like, oh, the QR code is to show you like a menu of things for you to consume. You're like, no, for like to keep things like to trace things and make sure we know as much as possible. I'm like, what? Oh. Yeah.
Wait, like, so people are doing sacrifices.
So how do you buy it?
In the most minimal way, their individual rights for the collective good? That doesn't seem possible.
Some of us are doing it begrudgingly, I would imagine. Like, you know, there's always pushback where people say, I don't want the government to know where I went today. It's like, you're not that interesting, Greg.
They're like, man, you're on Facebook. You're on Facebook checking into supermarkets. Like, okay.
I didn't know that. It's amazing to think that the Church of Scientology's efforts have somehow registered in the news cycle of America, and yet in New Zealand where they're targeting us. I say that. I mean, maybe my friends have been quietly recruited. They keep talking about diagnostics, and they want to give me a personality test, but I just figured they were goofing around.
Yeah, Guy, there appears to be an e-meter behind you in your... Yeah. Your bookshelf.
Nah, you don't got to worry about that. That's just to make sure everything's.
Don't be a suppressive person, Jack.
Right. My bad.
Fucking SP.
But, you know, David Miscavige, their kind of Scientology Pope, in a memo in March called the pandemic hysteria. So we know where they ultimately stand, even though they were giving out some helpful information with. That was designed to bring people to their website.
There was that cruise too. Remember that a few ports rejected them because they're like, this sounds like a COVID boat aren't willing to deal with.
Yeah, they treat their Sea Org, I guess it is, the people who sign away their rights to the Church of Scientology for a billion years. They treat them very badly. The healthcare plan for the Sea Org, not great, it turns out. But just all around, you know, they've got to do something now that, you know, a long-term LAPD investigation into Danny Masterson's sexual assault of three women has now, you know, they've issued charges, and the Church of Scientology was ultimately involved, it would appear, in kind of suppressing those accusations and, you know, pushing back. And it seems like they might be, their influence and power in the United States might be on the wane. Mm.
It feels like slowly, if you put all of the news stories together, while it is an incredibly, full-on time to be alive, you know, Scientology's on the wane. White supremacy's on the wane. What's all this?
Right.
I mean, Scientology, if they're smart, right? Because like in LA, I get why some people fall into it, because they can, at the time in the 90s and early 2000s, you could go down a list of celebrities who were famous and make this weird connection that like, oh, okay, if I do this, then I can be as famous as this person. But like when you look at now how like young kids, who they want to be, it's not fucking movie stars. They want to be like vloggers and TikTokers and shit. So they need to get their ass over there and start recruiting those people, or else you think you're going to tell some 16-year-old, oh, you want to be like old ass Tom Cruise?
Right.
Or fucking John Travolta. They'd be like, who the fuck is John Travolta? And they're like, what is this movie with the old problematic white men with dreadlocks? What is this shit?
John Travolta of Gotti fame?
Right, exactly. Like, that's probably what a kid is going to remember him from. They're like, oh, that guy was in a movie before that? Remember, like, when you were a kid and some there would be an old person in a movie and your parents would be, like, hyped and you're like, who the fuck are you talking about? And, like, when Max von Sydow was in, like, Bill and Ted and, like, as Death, and my mom was like, wow, he's back. I'm like, who is this old-ass man? And then you're like, oh, this man had a historic career, but I'm young, and I only know from this moment forward.
Yeah. it's like Happy Days jokes and like MASH references and stuff that I was just like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But as I became a fan of comedy, like that was all over the place, like on The Simpsons and stuff like that.
Right.
Anyways, Guy, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at Guy_Mont on Twitter and Instagram. And I got to tell you, sometimes I post content. So if that's what you're after, I'm your dude.
Nice. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I'm actually just finding the tweet. This one tickled me really well. This is from someone called Camilla Blackett at Camilla RD. My gyno told me that in her 20 years of practice, I have the strongest pelvic floor she's ever seen. So if you feel a shift in energy when I enter the room, it's because this is the level of confidence I'm walking with now.
Miles, where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. Also, my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. If you like 90 Day Fiancé, check that show out. And a tweet I like is from at Dr. Zoom. And this is just kind of, it's truly a snapshot of where we are. He tweets, breaking, USA achieves 100% onion/reality parody. And the first thing is a headline from the Washington Post that says, amid threats and political pushback, public health officials are leaving their posts. This is a post from The Onion in 1999, said, nation's experts give up. Washington, D.C., citing years of frustration over their advice being misunderstood, misrepresented, or simply ignored, America's foremost experts in every field collectively tendered their resignation Monday. And it's Jesus. Yeah. Well, you know, you can't say when you're watching a car crash in slow motion, you can't be surprised when it's ending in a crash.
Right. Tweet I've been enjoying from Soul Nate at M. Nate Shyamalan. Tweeted me, this is my invention. I call it the Q-tip. Marketing guy, what's it for? Me, so many things. Just don't stick it in your ears. Marketing guy, ears full of Q-tips. Sorry, what? You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into the week on today?
I think this... So on yesterday's episode, we went out on a track by Fela Kuti, and I want to actually keep that momentum going. This is a track from a group called Classica Orchestra Afrobeat, and they use, it's a very interesting conversation, you know, if I'm going to get deep with it, with classical instruments coming from Europe, and those are being brought by colonizers to Africa to then use those instruments to play African music, I think is an interesting conversation. And so this is their rendition of the iconic Fela Kuti track, Zombie. So this is Zombie by Classica Orchestra Afrobeat.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
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 Zombie, oh zombie,
zombie, oh zombie,
zombie, oh zombie, 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 zombie,
zombie, zombie,
zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie,
zombie, zombie,
zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie, zombie,
zombie,
zombie, zombie, zombie,
zombie.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.